Is Commissioner Leonard available? Is Commissioner Leonard available? Would the Sergeant of Arms please go find?
It's a resolution today, so we're fine.
Sue, how was your break?
Productive.
Did you get out and enjoy any of the sun?
Sure.
A little bit? It's going away. Can you call the roll for the record?
Sue, why do I look like I'm half the size of my colleagues?
And is it up there on the screen?
It's HD TV.
There's something wrong with this chair, I think.
You got to be able to raise it.
There's something wrong with this
chair. We just changed out the whole audio system, and so now you get to see us in high definition, which I'm sure is a thrill for viewing audience. Can you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Here. As quorum is present, we shall proceed. Can you please read the item resolutions 746 and 747? Oh, sorry, resolution 746 and non-emergency ordinance 747.
746, adopt the Central East Side Parking Management Plan dated June 2012. 747, create Central East Side Parking Meter District and expand associated area parking permit program.
All right, if we could have the appropriate staff come up for the initial presentation. So the Central East Side District is one of Portland's most dynamic neighborhoods and a key employment district for the city of Portland. Its historic uses of warehousing, heavy manufacturing, has also been joined by new technologies and also educational facilities, visitor facilities. It's in a major employment center and part of the central city, and the economic health of the Central East Side is critical to the economic health of the city as a whole. Central East Side Industrial District leaders have told us that parking is a top priority and a real constraint to new growth and development within the district. For businesses to be successful, their customers and suppliers need to know they can find a place to park when they come into the CEID. Parking is so important in the district that a group of stakeholders have worked with the city staff in recent months, years, to develop a comprehensive plan to manage parking in the district. The result is a plan that better matches parking supply and demand in the district. The parking management plan is a collaborative effort of businesses and property owners in the Central East Side Industrial District, the Central East Side Industrial Council, representatives from adjacent neighborhoods, and city staff. And I'm very pleased to present their work for council consideration today, and I want to thank you for all of your great contributions. I'd like to call on Bill Hoffman from the Portland Bureau of Transportation, who's the project manager for this plan, and Juliana Lakasic, chair of the Central East Side Industrial Council.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of City Council. I think we're going to start with Juliana. Juliana is president of the Central East Side Industrial Council, has been involved with this project from the initiation, and wanted to say a few words just to kick off the presentation.
And this is my first time speaking in front of City Council, so everybody be gentle.
Okay, we will.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
As Bill mentioned, I am the president of the CEIC, the Central East Side Industrial Council, and I'm also the owner of a building and business in on 8th and Cooch called At Large Films. So in that capacity is how I got interested in issues surrounding the district. And I actually have been there since 2002. And since buying the building in 2002, I've been able to sort of see what's been going on with the parking in the district. And certainly in my area, the parking has become a huge problem for us. We get a lot of, we're on the couplet, so there's problems with people parking and riding into the city. There's problems with people walking from our district, from our area across the way to Lloyd District. And it's very, very difficult for employees to park in the district. That's not just true in my section, which is kind of towards I-84. It's true all over the district. It's the number one problem that comes to our attention time and time again. I'm also the former land use chair for the CEIC, and I think parking came up on every single agenda. There's always a question about parking. So it's a huge issue for us, and one that we really, really want to try to create some resolution around. For about a year and a half or 2 years, we've been working with Bill Hoffman and Rick Williams and their team on the SAC, the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. I've been on that committee. We have other members of that committee here as well. And I've been on other SACs, and I was so impressed with the process. I went into the SAC sort of, really wondering how we could possibly tackle this huge problem. And through the process with the establishment of a lot of research and work done by the consultants, I was very, very surprised and delighted to see that there was a plan that could be created that would really solve or at least help solve some of the problems in the CEID, specifically around capacity and how often people were parking at particular spots. For instance, along MLK and Grand, there is 80% occupancy, so the study really helped me understand why a spot like that might be okay for a meter versus a spot that was up on Hawthorne that had about 40% occupancy, which clearly doesn't have any need. So the current plan, which we're very excited about, really helped me understand the need base. Also, critical to this plan for the CEIC is the TPMA and the establishment of the TPMA, the Transportation Parking Management Association. That is absolutely critical to this for us because through that group, we can establish need for the district because not everybody, surprise, surprise, not everybody in our district thinks meters are a great idea. And I don't think meters are a great idea either. But if I can find a way to establish, if we can find a way to establish need and that the meters could be a part of a bigger plan, then that is the only way I will feel good about submitting those ideas to our members. So the TPMA is really important to us, and I would strongly encourage you to both adopt the plan, but also to make sure that we're supporting and staffing the TPMA. And finally, the biggest element of the plan that's important to us and to certainly my business is the permits. The permits are very much needed in the district to help with employee parking and customer parking, especially along the streetcar. And it's really important to us that those permits, as part of this plan, are a part of your resolution to have happen very quickly, hopefully in conjunction with the streetcar. So, that would be something that we would strongly encourage you to both adopt the plan, but also to implement the permit part as quickly as possible. So thank you very much for hearing me out today. And I guess that wasn't so bad for my first time.
Well, wait a second.
Uh-oh, he has questions.
We haven't fielded any questions yet.
Shorty has a question.
Okay, great. Let's see if I can handle this.
Since this is your first time, tell us about At-Large Films.
Oh, well, that one's easy. At-Large Films is a full-service production company that specializes in commercials. We are a national-based commercial production company, and so that means, our biggest client is Nintendo. So we do television commercials and any kind of visual content production that you can imagine for any corporation or advertising agency in the world.
And why Portland?
Portland is probably the coolest city in the country right now. That's not why I was here originally. I was here because I grew up in the Northwest, and I established my production company in 1999. And since then, I have found it very easy to sell Portland as a destination for filming. And with the state incentives, it also makes it a lot easier for us to draw companies like Nintendo into town. We do probably 4 Nintendo shoots a year, and at least 3 of them tend to be in Portland. Of course, bringing people to Portland, back to the parking, when I have big crews over at my studio, parking is a huge issue for us. So we are Portland-based. Portland is extremely hip right now. Internationally, we've got a lot of things going on here, so it makes it a good place for a film production company.
So do you ever use the Portland, Oregon sign as a backdrop for your commercial?
We have, actually. I mean, we have no problem showing Portland as the reason we're, the corporations that we work with also don't have a problem with it. They think Portland's really cool. We have all the.
If it said University of Oregon,
I would have to get permission from University of Oregon for that. But
can we get that trademark?
Can you help me get that permission?
So, Madam President, don't pay attention to that.
Okay.
Any of them.
Okay.
They're simply seeking compliments and attention. I want to make one change, and I just want to get it out there early. There are meters that currently are on the streets in some part of the city that are not turning a profit. And so some of those meters we could relocate to some of the areas right around the stops of the streetcar when it's operating, which I'm most concerned about the businesses right around the stops getting impacted by park and riders on the streetcar. So I want to change the so getting permits in ASAP. My intention is to move on that. I want to, the current draft says meters by the end of next fiscal year. I want to have some of our meters that we already own moved over next to some of the stops. So I want to move a change of that could go start going in 12, 13. We're not going to have enough meters to meter up the whole meter area, but I also don't want to leave what I know from experience will be park and rides, and we can have, I would rather have people self-police themselves with meters than making a lot of angry people by writing a lot of tickets where I can help it. So is that going to be okay with folks, I hope?
You know, it's we wanted to implement meters a year after the streetcar. That was our desire. So, you know, with the implementation of the TPMA, I don't think that we have time for that to be implemented to answer that question, but those are the kinds of questions that the TPMA would answer. Mm-hmm. So I would say that I would have to take it to the rest of my group to know if we had a real problem with it. I can't answer for everybody, but I don't think that I personally would have a problem with that.
We have how many stops up and down the two couplet, the couplet?
I can't tell you.
Streetcar stops. So I'm going to move, but when testimony is done, I'm going to move for the council to make the change that around the streetcar stops where we have meters we already own, we would put some meters in there just to make sure that we're not writing tickets all day. We don't have, it will take longer to have the entire district metered up. But
I think that we would be more comfortable with that if there was a permit program in place at the time that you started to
I
do that.
I commit to you, we will not put a single meter in without the permit program in place.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. All right, Mr. Hoffman.
Yes, you can leave.
You can stay up here if you want.
Well, we're going. I'd like to invite our consultant team, Rick Williams and Jason Franklin, up to assist me with the presentation.
Welcome, gentlemen.
So I just want to start off refreshing you. The study area is the whole Central East Side Industrial District, and it goes from the river to 12th and then from 84 to Powell. It's 500 blocks. It's a very, very large district to be doing a plan for. So this was an ambitious undertaking. You'll get a flavor of this as we go through the presentation, but this was a very comprehensive plan. The parking plans really take a fair amount of work, and we'll share that with you, but it was comprehensive. It started with data collection and went on to defining the problems, developing alternatives. And most importantly, this was done collaboratively with a group of stakeholders and with the community at large in several open houses. And the product we'll share with you was a product of that work. We believe it's defensible, and we believe it engaged the community in terms of developing the solutions. What you're going to see is a overview of the process. We'll spare you of a lot of the details, but we want to give you a sense of what the recommendations are based on. So we're going to go through the background, which is the inventory, land use analysis, and some of the projections that came from that. We'll share with you the problem statements that begin to define what it is we're trying to solve in terms of our series of recommendations, a little bit of the public process, and then summarize the key plan actions and finally talk a little bit about the TPMA. We're going to break this up between Jason and Rick. Jason's going to start with a background problem statement public process, then Rick is going to talk about the key plan action. So let's just go right into this.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Good afternoon. So as Bill said, this was a real comprehensive look at parking in the district. The first thing we did, we started off with, was a full survey, full comprehensive survey of all the parking stalls in the district. And really, this provides probably the best survey of parking within the central city right now. And what we found, and as you see there's about 14,000 or so, 14,600 stalls within the district. And it's interesting to note that many of those are in off-street surface lots, so about 8,000 of those. However, a lot of those are not available to the general public. They're accessory uses or generally reserved for not-for-public use. Next. The inventory also recorded what type of stalls were out there. So of those 6,000-plus parking stalls that are on the street, what are the time limits within each? And as you see on the chart, there's a wide variety of different stall times within there, everything from 5 minutes up to no limit. And this is obviously a lot of variability in the district, and the plan, as you'll see, really, really addresses this. So the variability is confusing to customers, and it's not necessarily good for business, as you heard from Juliana. So the next thing we looked at was the utilization and the utilization of these spaces. And we took valid samples throughout the district to get a handle on this. And these numbers that you see before you are averaged throughout the district as a whole. And you'll see they're pretty solid throughout. They start at about 69% in the morning, get up to around 75%, and then tail off in the afternoon. And what this tells us is that this district really serves employees, and it's formatted for employees and does a pretty good job right now of providing parking for employees. But you'll also see that the off-street system is actually much less utilized. And again, that gets back to my previous comment about the accessory uses of many of those lots. And as development occurs, you'll see this 75% utilization begin to creep up towards that magic number of 85% that Rick can tell you a little bit about. After we did the parking, we looked at the parking inventory. We looked at the land uses, because obviously the land use within the district drives the parking demand. We looked at the current land uses, which, as anyone who's been down there recently can attest, are changing. And you have about 41% actually industrial uses, according to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And that's despite the fact that about 70% of the total district is zoned industrial. So the district is changing, it's evolving, and the parking is changing and evolving with it. And the plan really takes that into account, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. The other thing we looked at was not only the numbers, but exactly where that employment is. And so this map in front of you shows that where the major employers are, the larger the dot, the more employees. And again, the interesting thing about this map is it shows a pretty even distribution of employment throughout the district. And it also shows it's a healthy district. It's around 17,000 employees. And the plan, again, looks at, takes this into account as we begin to redistribute and reformat the parking. So what's going to happen in the future in the district? That's a question we asked ourselves as we're moving forward. You know, the plan is very proactive. It's looking towards the future of what's happening, how things are changing. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability indicates that there's about 47 acres identified as developable in the area. If all that developed and redeveloped, you would see a doubling of the amount of office space and the amount of built space actually in the district. So with this new development, obviously brings new parking demand, the supply, and the supply will only continue to drop. Parking supply will drop as new development comes in and builds on the surface lots that are present there and doesn't replace the parking one for one. Other things that are going on in the district, obviously lots of new investment that's happening, the streetcars coming in, and as was referenced before, numerous stops up and down MLK and Grand, which will certainly increase the temptation of downtown and Lloyd employees to park in the district and travel through. OMSI is looking to redevelop their parking lots and really build on that synergy down there with over 200,000 square feet of new office space and 720,000 square feet of research. Again, impacts the southern part of the district that we addressed as part of the plan. We then looked at kind of projecting forward again. We thought about different alternatives or different scenarios, really, of what could happen in the district. So one scenario is that there's a small amount of development, really no redevelopment. We don't think this is something that's actually going to happen, but we looked at it. The middle scenario is actually the city adopted employment numbers, future employment numbers for the district. Again, you'll see that the current about 16,600 and 7,500 new employees in the 20-year time frame, giving us about 24,000. And then what happens if all those 47 acres redeveloped? Well, you'd see a significant amount of new employment, obviously, and a number that's probably not sustainable certainly from a parking standpoint. So what does this mean for parking? Well, if you looked at just the minimal growth standpoint, you have about 70% utilization across the district, both on-street and off-street, and again, managing towards that magic 85% number. So, you know, if nothing happens in the district, we can pretty much say parking will be generally okay with some reformatting. As development occurs, we begin to see, you know, that bottom number again, the peak hour demand, begin to move towards 100%, which essentially means in the peak hours you're not finding any place to park throughout. And then finally, if we see significant redevelopment down there, development that's probably not going to happen without structured parking or other types of things happening. So with all that information we and research and we sat down, and as Juliana indicated, we really began to work through these issues with the SAC, and we came up with a series of problem statements. And those key problem statements are there before you. These are really things that the parking plan focuses on, and these are the problems that we're solving with that parking plan. So, you know, the district is not efficiently managed. There's probably a lot more demand than supply. And existing policies really aren't beneficial to employees or customers in the area. A lot of out-of-district parkers, you'll hear that over and over again. People are essentially poaching parking in that area. And really, what, you know, any changes, any future management policies are going to have impacts to the neighborhood, and we'll talk about that as well. Again, we had a robust public involvement stakeholder process that Bill led. He did, in my opinion, did a great job of leading us through this process. And as a consultant that works around the region, I was really impressed by what was accomplished here. You know, public workshops really started off with stakeholder interviews that Bill led as part of the scoping process, and then individual meetings as well. And then the big piece of it, though, was really the stakeholder advisory committee. And we had a great group of folks that stuck with us throughout the process, wasn't afraid to tackle these tough issues, and you'll hear from many of them here this afternoon. The public process included public workshops, and we just have a quick snapshot of that, public workshop within the industrial district. One of the great things about working down there is there are a lot of creative spaces, so we had some fun times finding spaces and also setting up in those spaces. And so finally, before I turn it over to Rick here, just to kind of go through the outline of the plan, we tried to really focus the important stuff up front. The plan details, or the plan itself includes the problem statement and the key plan actions, which Rick is going to address next. And then after that, you see some more of the details, the program elements, those sorts of things. And finally, the really kind of the background stuff. So with that, I'll turn it over to Rick.
Thanks, Jason. Mr. Mayor, City Councilors, good afternoon. My name is Rick Williams, principal of Rick Williams Consulting, who is a member of the project consulting team. I think Jason made five important points that to consider as you understand how the plan lays out. First, that there was a jumble of parking in the district. It wasn't, as you saw, there's 10 different types of on-street parking in the district. It's confusing to people, and it's not user-friendly. And in many cases, the type of parking that's in front of a business is not necessarily conducive to that business. Number two, the district is changing. The trend towards non-industrial is already underway, and it's expected to continue, and that's going to have significant impacts on parking. There's lots of surface parking in the district, which is a good thing in the near term, but it means that those are all also future development sites. So as development occurs, there's going to be a quickening of the constraint on parking in the district over time. Also, there's, as you saw with Streetcar and OMSI and other opportunities, there's a lot of new investment and new opportunity being targeted for the district. And they're significant, and they will come with both management impacts and capacity impacts. And then finally, what's so important about the Stakeholder Advisory Committee is there's consensus on the process, on the problems related to the role of parking in the district. And you saw the problem statements. So where we began, our role was to take our ability is to solve those problems with the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, and that's the key plan action items that you see in the plan. I won't go through them all on this slide, but it begins with simplifying the parking system and going all the way to the formation of a Transportation and Parking Management Association to provide a holistic oversight and partnership role between the city and stakeholders in the district to continually manage parking. Next. The program elements of the plan include four key elements. The first is to create a parking and permit and meter district. It's a large boundary, as you can see above, but it, again, allows us to manage the district holistically and look at the district and as a part of its component parts by establishing that plan boundary. Two, we need to simplify the format of parking so it's understandable and it's efficient and it's contributing to the economic vitality of the district. One thing we heard over and over and over again is enforcement. If you have a plan, you have to agree to it and you have to commit to it, and the key element of that is enforcement. This plan takes enforcement from current levels and targets additional resources to enforcement to make the plan work and make it efficient. The hours of operation won't change, but the commitment to resources for enforcement will change. And then finally, expanding the employee district, as Juliana mentioned to you, is currently major portions of the district are unregulated. And we have conflicts between people who are doing business in the district and employees of the district and people who are using the district as a launching point to other areas as warehousing their cars. The expanded employee district is very important to do that, and it directly addresses the problem statement of managing out-of-district parkers in the district. Also, the ability to use that program as a platform for imposing a surcharge on those permits that provides a funding resource for the TMA. And gives it a good operating platform on which to launch itself. Next. As you can see, we're going to go into the colors now. What were all those colors on that original map? One is in simplifying the time stays is we're really moving to a district that is mostly two-hour parking. And beginning in the center of the district on the key retail spine, MLK and Grand, which is basically that area between I-84 and Clay and the streets in between, and establishing that as a planting our flag there and saying, in the beginning, this is where we want customers to park. If you come here, you will get a parking stall. It'll be 2 hours parking, and at the appropriate point, it will be metered. Employees will not be allowed to park on these block faces. And it's also very good in terms of managing the impact of streetcar. The next plan action is the expanded employee permit program. The blue color symbolizes also two-hour parking, but it's two-hour assigned parking. And with a valid employee permit, employees can park at those two-hour assigned stalls all day. But what it means now is someone who comes into the district, particularly an out-of-district employee who wants to park all day, won't be able to. Because to do that, you need to be an employee of the Central East Side, and that permit will allow you all-day parking. The Southern Triangle is an important, as you saw, some of the numbers are daunting. Nearly 1 million square feet of potential redevelopment there with a real interest to do so. But also the nature of OMSI is a little bit different than the rest of the district, requiring a little bit of a longer time stay, 3 hours. As the blue area was 2 hours signed permit parking, the Southern Triangle will be 3 hours signed permit parking. However, as some of those development opportunities begin in the second phases of this plan, this would be an opportunity area to evaluate for expanding the customer priority area to meters over time. Next, we have the impacts of neighborhood mitigation. First, I want to say that we were really lucky to have representatives of Buckman, Kearns, Hosford, Abernathy, and Brooklyn on the committee. But anything we do in the district by going to a more aggressive level of management in the Central East Side could have impacts, adverse impacts, on the neighborhoods. So the first thing we did was create this green buffer zone. All the parking that's within that green band won't change from how it currently is structured today. Think Broadway Widler as the buffer zone between Irvington, Elliott, and Sullivan's Gulch in the Lloyd District. When the Lloyd District went to a meter district, a buffer zone was created. It creates some distance from the neighborhood, but it also and so it serves a purpose in that way. The other element of the plan related to neighborhood mitigation is revising the existing city process for establishing a neighborhood permit program. Right now, it's extremely cumbersome, and all the burden is on the neighborhoods. And so it's very, very difficult, even though you're being impacted potentially by overspill from a commercial district, it's very, very difficult to even launch a permit program. So this plan is calling for new criteria for the neighborhood permit program that simplifies the process for the neighborhoods and also reduces the size of scope necessary to begin a neighborhood permit program. So if there's a smaller area that can begin a permit program to open the door and begin mitigation, this plan allows for that and streamlines that.
Is it? Exceptions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Exceptions. One thing we want to say, so first thing people might say, well, you've simplified the time stays, but what about businesses that need something other than the base time stays? And we don't want to not recognize them. There are businesses that have very unique needs. Dry cleaners, one-hour drop-offs, quick turnaround businesses. What this plan provides for, and it's in your larger packet of materials, is criteria for exceptions. The idea would be eventually that those would become a process that would be engaged through the TPMA. But this allows businesses to come in and ask for exceptions, for instance, a 15-minute zone or a 3-hour zone in a 2-hour area. But what we're trying to do with the new criteria is assure that we're not going back to that jumble of parking that we have now. So the criteria are a little bit more specific. There's a process that they go through, but it certainly doesn't deny a business with a unique need the type of parking that they need in front of their business. Longer term, as the plan is finally unfolds and gets its feet underneath it and develops, there's some longer term items, actions that need to be considered. As we know, particularly in the near term, there's a real opportunity in the off-street parking facilities. Again, we have 8,000 parking stalls off-street at potentially 4,000 of those 8,000 are empty in the peak hour. But there's the way they're operated and certain restrictions within the existing code that requires them to be accessory uses limits our ability to market them as shared use parking lots even if we wanted to. So through the TPMA, there's an opportunity to go business to business to see if we can open up and free up some of that underutilized space. And that's a longer term action in the plan. Also to begin planning now and in the midterm for what happens when all those surface laws do go away through development. There needs to be planning in place that would provide strategic locations for and processes for evolving to structured parking in the district over time. And then, of course, the more important longer-term action is at what time and under what criteria and growth patterns would occur to allow us to begin expanding the customer priority area and therefore expanding meters to a broader area of the district. And finally, the TPMA. We believe, the consultant team believes, and I think you heard Juliana say the same thing, one of the key elements of this plan to make it successful is the TPMA. It's a system of self-governance. It's a partnership relationship with the city. It's a way for the city and a representative group of stakeholders in the district to routinely and constantly monitor and objectively monitor the performance of the plan in the district.
So for those watching at home, could you say what TPMA is?
Thank you, Commissioner. It's a TPMA is a Transportation and Parking Management Association. So it would be a nonprofit business association with city partnership. But it really is a system of self-governance. It provides a forum for the implementation. It provides a sounding board for new ideas. It provides an objective forum for reviewing the performance of the district and then making decisions and then advocating for those decisions back to the city to implement future elements of the plan. It also allows, beginning with the surcharge on the permits, to begin to leverage the resource that is there, which is new parking management, for the betterment of the district. And with that, I'll turn it back to Bill Hoffman.
So we're done with our presentation. We're going to step aside and allow testimony. But before we do that, just want to acknowledge the incredible work of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. This is a group of people who met with us monthly for 12 months, who worked through lots of material, worked through lots of tough issues, and were able to find agreement on items that some thought we would never be able to agree on. So they did an extraordinary job, and it was truly my honor to work with them, and I think the plan that you see today is very much their product. So, we're done.
To our esteemed gathered fellow Portlanders, how many are here to testify in support of the plan proposal, if you could raise your hand? How many of you are here to support it? You don't necessarily have signed up to say. How many of you are here in opposition to the plan? Okay, you got three. So I'm going to lose the quorum because some of my colleagues have pre-established commitments. So if I could get the three people who are opposed to come up, and then we will have you talk amongst yourselves and get the three people that you would like to testify in support, and we'll go from there. Hi, welcome. Have a seat. Glad you're here. If you could just give us your first and last name, and that clock in front of you will help you count down 2 minutes.
Okay. My name's Stuart Schleifer. I'm with Schleifer Furniture on Southeast Grand Avenue.
Well, I've bought quite a few things from your store. Nice to meet you in person.
Thank you, and thank you.
Yeah.
And my office furniture also.
Thank you.
Go ahead and tell us what you would like us to
thank you. So 36 years ago, the then mayor came to some of us in the Central East Side and said, we need a revitalization study. First thing we did is did a consensus of the members, the property owners of the area, and we said one thing, what do you need most? And the answer was parking. Over the years, we have gone through study after study, very similar to what I've heard today. And it always comes out the same thing. We need a parking structure. And each one of these very expensive paid studies has said the same thing, but we don't have the money. We can't afford it. The cost per stall is incredibly expensive. So what we're doing today is coming back with another proposal, similar to proposals I've heard for 36 years. I was president of CEIC. I've been very, very involved with the organization, and I'm an absolutely not in concurrence with them on this particular issue. If you want to move people off the street, enforce it with parking patrols. First of all, it's going to cost you far less money to do it. You put the signage up where it's necessary, and you can do the patrolling. We have no problem in front of our operation. We are not finding permanent parkers. Maybe it's being enforced there, but whatever it is, we are getting the turnover we need. Put up signs and enforce it. First of all, you'd have to hire extra staff members to do it. That's good. $30,000 to $40,000 a year a person, 1.5 multiplier effect. It's just incredibly good for the economy. So there's some real positive aspects to it. I think we're putting a Band-Aid on a major issue, and I don't think this is the solution to the issue. I'd like to encourage each one of you to not vote positively on this proposal. I think it's a bad ruling.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony. Thanks for being here. Hi. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Ani Haynes, and I work with KBOO Community Radio, which is located at 20 Southeast 8th. That's right between Burnside and Ankeny in Southeast 8th. So I come because of concerns that we have about the implementation of this parking management plan and the impact it would have on our volunteers. We understand that there would be a certain allotment of annual passes to be purchased by staff. We have a very small staff. We have 12 people on staff. We have 300 volunteers we rely on to create the programs that that actually benefit the community as a small social service organization broadcasting in community support. So we have a number of volunteers who use the facility every day to, first of all, we do encourage bike transportation. We have interior bike parking. Many of our volunteers are committed bicyclists or public transportation users. There are, however, a number of volunteers who, because of physical ability or distance traveled or how they're able to schedule volunteer time into the rest of their very busy lives, come in for 3 to 6 hours during the workday to do things that cannot be easily interrupted to repark a car, working as journalists under a tight deadline, actually being on the air for 3 hours at a time. You can't just leave the air room to repark. And I want to make sure that the council understands our unique situation. With such a, you know, there's probably 30 volunteers daily during the workday that are using the facility, many of them for more than 2 hours at a time because of the nature of the work they do, providing important training to other volunteers. Our training classes are 4 hours in length. Our air shifts are 3 hours in length. Our production use, et cetera. You know, so that is when the plan was announced to our volunteers, people were very concerned, and I said I would come and speak on their behalf.
Appreciate that very much. One thing that the reason that we established the TPMA is to deal with very legitimate and unique circumstances. And so that's one reason we don't just pass the code, and the code is the only thing that governs the actual on-the-ground management. So I think it's an important issue to raise. It's an issue that's been raised in other parking districts, and they've used a variety of methods to address the problem. So thank you for being here. Appreciate
thank you.
It. Hi, welcome.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Sarah Cook. I work over at Shop People, which is on the corner of Southeast Oak and Grand. And we also have an interesting situation in there. Well, I'll just start with the fact that, okay, I heard about this a few days ago. I started talking to people in my neighborhood, in the surrounding area, to find out how they felt about it and were they aware of what was happening. And clearly, whether they should have known or not, they didn't. And they were upset. And I acquired lots of signatures and a lot of stories about what they're concerned about. And, of course, it does come down to so many people who work out there who can't take mass transit, who can't walk or bike in. So they are afraid about losing their permits. And over at Shop People, for instance, again, ideally these people can be accommodated because we have currently almost 45 members. These are people, some of whom actually run businesses from Shop People. It's 20,000 square feet of shop space where people can come to work on whatever pretty much they want. But there are other people there, too, who they may only be there for a few hours a day or even 3 hours a day. They're trying to get work done. Parking for them is critical because they have to have their materials close at hand. So mainly what it has come down to is just, I think so much more communication does need to be affected. These people certainly do want to know what's going to be going on.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Appreciate it. All right, the next three. I saw three folks opposed and other hands were in support or didn't go up. Why don't you go up, come up here, Susan? We'll be in the. You'll be in the middle.
I'm sort of yes and no.
For it? Yeah. Please sit down. You're in the right. No. I mean, sit down up here. You're right. I didn't. It wasn't very clear.
You guys talk first.
All right.
Go ahead.
Me first,
please.
Mayor Adams, commissioners, thank you very much for seeing us. You know, I first of all, let me say I really appreciate hearing some of the other businesses coming forward with some concerns.
If you could state your name for the record.
My name is Peter Stark. I'm on the CEIC. I'm also on the Portland Streetcar Board. I appreciate the fact that there are businesses that have concerns. I think that within the Central East Side Industrial Council, this has been a long, very difficult discussion. And I do want to emphasize that the TPMA, the Transportation Parking Management Association, has been a very important aspect to this effort. And the reason for that, it actually was back to something that City Council adopted in 2002. It was the Central East Side Development Opportunity Strategy. That strategy, which was put together by PDC, suggested that there'd be the potential of 1.2 million square feet, or maybe it was 1.3 million square feet of development just in the area from MLK Grand down to the waterfront, around OMSI and that whole area. We realized at that point the infrastructure couldn't support that amount of development. We believe, and we continue to believe, that the district should continue to evolve, not radically change, but evolve, to allow the businesses that are there to succeed. And that evolution at times can be a little bit painful, and we're at that point now. We don't want to kill the district by implementing a plan through parking or traffic management that is going to hurt the businesses that came forward. The TPMA, we're hoping, will help to moderate and address those concerns. And I think that, frankly, that's why we support this effort. We think that being in charge of and being on the ground, if you will, understanding what the real issues are and being able to talk to these businesses one-on-one and address them one-on-one is important. Lastly, I'll just say that recently we had an effort on 12th Avenue where there's a bicycle path that was projected to be at that location. The CEIC was not aware of that until a number of meetings had progressed. We didn't know about it until too late, but I'll tell you that it was successful in the end. A TPMA allows us to be involved early so that we can, you know, work That's together right. as a team and really make it successful.
Thanks for your work on this. Yeah. Appreciate it. Susan?
Susan Lindsay, Chair of the Buckman Community Association. Good afternoon. Well, whenever you limit parking in one area or restrict it, you move it to another oftentimes. And so the concern that came up a lot during the process on the committee was the transposition of the commuter folks that are either dropping their cars off to ride their bikes or to walk or to take public transit, that they will simply just move into the residential area of Buckman. Buckman, as a neighborhood, goes from 28th all the way to the river, so the central east side portion is sort of an overlay over Buckman. So at this point, with this plan, when we talked about it, I was really concerned about that that we were going to end up with a great deal of these commuter cars that may be closing, at this point, parking closer into the Bridgehead. So we are, through the process of the committee, I want to commend Bill Hoffman in particular with his efforts to try to work with the parking enforcement folks around the permit restrictions and all of that at a potentially very difficult time because of what was happening around parking during all of that, too. So I want to make that clear. I still have some concerns about this plan, and in particular, one that I have is that the issuance of 100% of permits to all employees in the Central East Side. I mean, I'm very concerned about that. Certainly there aren't, if there's 17,000 employees in the Central East Side, there aren't 17,000 available parking spaces. And I'm concerned that it's kind of polluting. I mean, at a time when we're trying to encourage people to not take their cars, if there aren't enough spaces and they have a permit, then they may feel as it's kind of like a license to hunt, and they'll just sort of roam around, try to find a spot. So I'm very concerned that was over generous. I want to make sure that the neighborhood is very involved in the TPMA with the formation. We need to be a partner at the table, not just sort of an auxiliary seat at the table. The other thing that we had talked about as kind of a help for Buckman in particular, where there aren't as many single-family homes. There's a lot of apartments, and a lot of the older homes have been broken into, subdivided into 2 and 3 units, so there isn't a great deal of street parking to begin with. We had talked about having the permit that is allowed in that in the area, if the residents do vote for getting residential permits, that they would also be able to use that in the Central East Side, because many of them do like to shop and like to go to the restaurants in the Central East Side, like to volunteer at KBOO and things like that, and they would want to be able to still do that. And we would not want to drive the nearby residents who are very active in the Central East Side sort of out of the Central East Side because of that. So we had talked about that, and right now this plan does not include that kind of overlay, so I want to bring that up.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Susan Pierce. As many of you probably know, I'm a member of the Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Board and was also their representative to the Stakeholders Committee. We at hand have not had an opportunity to talk about this recently. In fact, it's on our July agenda. Things moved a little faster than we thought they were going to. Thank you, Mayor Adams, for moving this forward. I want to echo the words of the people who spoke highly of how the Stakeholders Committee was organized and worked. I thought we all worked really well together. Most of us came away with no scars. I understand that many members of the CEIC are indeed happy with this, and if they're happy, I'm happy, with the following caveats. I think it's important to hear the concerns of Buckman and also the ones I just heard from KABU regarding some of the issues around parkings and permits. In a some time ago conversation on the hand board, those people who abut the Central East Side, which is largely the Lads Edition, they were more concerned about having to have a permit district than they were about the current status of the park and ride group. However, that could change. Much is happening in the Central East Side, and a whole lot of what is happening in the Central East Side is happening in the hand portion. And as that happens, things are going to change. Therefore, I think the need for fluidity with this plan is critical, and the way that's going to happen is the TPMA. So I'm in favor of the plan with the TPA, with neighborhood involvement, as Susan described. The one other thing I want to emphasize, if I may, is the importance of recognizing the need to encourage alternative forms of transportation. Did I get cut off?
No, but you need to summarize. So the importance of alternative forms of transportation.
Thank bicycles, you. Streetcar. Then we don't need so many cars parked.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. Mr. Yates.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Council, Commissioners. I have been involved in about a dozen of these stakeholder groups over the years, and I have to admit this was the most rewarding one I've ever participated in. It was Bill Hoffman and his group did an amazing job of providing us information, letting us get our concerns out, allowing us to create a plan that I think is workable. But what is the most exciting thing to me is we're not solving the problem and we're done, we're moving on. We actually have created a framework for addressing the problems that are going to occur, because there are going to always be problems with parking and with moving people around. And one major development of one location is going to change the dynamics of an area in the Central East Side. And one of the numbers that was stunning to me was that there is over 1,000 people drive into the district on a daily basis, offload their bike, and bike into downtown. 1,000 people. They're not going to be able to get a permit. That's going to open up parking for a lot of people. But it is more concerning is displacing those people possibly into the neighborhoods. And that is only going to be addressed through an active agreement and working together through the TPMA with neighborhood representation. And I think there's a strong commitment and I'm to working that way. And I'm very excited that this is a living solution, not a static solution. And thank you, for Bill, for putting up with us for a year and a half.
Thank you all very much. So unless there are objections, I'd like to move into consideration of the resolution. And I'd like to make an amendment that under revenue, item number 4 under revenue, where it says, talks about meter operations by 1314, I'd like it to say 1213, not to exceed 24 meters. There are 18 stops. So this is not blanketing the meter space with meters. But Mr. Slifer, respectfully, we don't want to write tickets. For one thing, we only get 40% of every 40 cents on every dollar when we write tickets. It makes people, especially in retail areas, incredibly unhappy. We would prefer that people sort of manage themselves around, especially around streetcar stops. I do want to, with the additional staff that we will have for this, I do want to focus on making sure that the permit district is well enforced. I think Mr. Yates' comment, 1,000 people ride their bike in from the Central East Side, where driven their bike to the Central East Side and then ride in. We have a lot of work to do to sort of change those sort of habits. So that's my motion.
Second.
Could you explain exactly where that is?
Right there.
So it's a change to the financial impact statement.
Sorry, it's a change to the financial impact statement. It's been moved and seconded. Sue, would you please call up the vote on the motion?
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman. Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye.
Mayor, since this was just brought forward today and I haven't had a chance to study it and the neighborhood hadn't seen it, You were just about to suggest that we'd vote on next week?
Oh, we're doing the resolution today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mayor, question?
The reason to do the resolution today is we actually have to hustle to get permits in place before streetcar goes. And I think that the folks that, respectfully, I think the folks that disagree, and reasonable people can disagree on deeper issues than it's not the process, it's not what's being put forward, there's just a disagreement, and that's fair enough. So I would like to be able to vote on the resolution today. The ordinance is non-emergency. It'll be considered next week. So with that, Sue, would you please call?
Oh, yeah, just real quick.
Yep.
Mayor, there were three points raised that I just want to quickly address. One is displacement, and is it? Can you confirm that the impacted neighborhoods would have representation on the TPMA?
Absolutely, and that's contained in the document. And I just want to underscore the fact that people have been so willing to work with one another, I think bodes incredibly well for the TPMA's launch.
The other two other questions, Mayor. It was noted in the presentation that we're going to streamline the neighborhood permit system. And so has that been worked out in a way that people are generally comfortable with, whatever approach we're taking?
On the city side, we are very comfortable, and we did that because on the human district side, we need to be nimble and we need to move quick.
And the third question, Mayor, is in another district that we're currently examining as a council, we didn't get to 100% employee permits, although there were some voices. I'm talking about Northwest, mm-hmm. where there's some voices for that. I heard Susan's point, but actually I have in the past thought we ought to get closer to 100% so that we made it as convenient as possible for employees, and I guess there's a trade-off here. Can you just explain why in this district we're at 100%?
I will seek to provide the expert answer, but I will tell you this is an employment district, first and foremost, with limbs of retail. But in order for the city to get the full value and to strengthen and have the employment district prosper, I want it, as a Portlander, I want to keep it largely an employment district, and B, we need to provide for employee parking here to a greater degree than you will find, I believe.
So that, for me, is a satisfactory answer.
Good. Sue, would you please call the vote on the resolution? Did I do okay there, Bill?
Yeah, you did great.
Okay, you know.
Fish.
Well, Mayor, I was prepared to vote no until Dan Yates testified. I just want to remark that I think in my 4 years on the council, this is the first time he's urged an aye vote on something, and I don't want to lose this opportunity, Dan. Thank you for an excellent presentation to all. I'm going to support this for the reasons that have been articulated more eloquently by the presenters. We have strong support on the Stakeholder Advisory Committee and a what sounds like a model public process of making sure people were heard. Because of the unique character of this district, which I think is different than some other districts, which will make our deliberations a little harder elsewhere, but because of the unique characteristics of this district, I am heartened to hear that the TPMA will be open to all the voices, so those issues of displacement, which are germane to this and other areas, can be addressed real time. I personally favor getting as close to 100% as possible on the employee permit side, because whether you're a for-profit business or particularly a nonprofit business, or you have your school or whatever, there's a convenience factor there, and we don't want to make this burdensome. And finally, I'm pleased to hear that there's going to be an effort to streamline the neighborhood permit process. So I'm incredibly impressed with the presentation and the discussion, and thanks to everyone who took time out of their busy lives to be here with us today. And Mayor, thank you for leading an excellent process, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
Well, interestingly, I was prepared to vote yes until Dan Yates testified. I feel like I missed something.
Poor Dan. Lightning rod.
But this is clearly a very collaborative process, balanced. I like that it's flexible in terms of how it's implemented, and I think the concerns we heard here today should and will be addressed in that process. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you all for your participation in the process. I was actually reassured to find some people testifying in opposition or with concerns, because there's always room for improvement, I think. And this structure with the Transportation Parking Management Association allows for that. And, you know, as the mayor was referring to taking meters from one place and putting them in another place to expedite this, perhaps, this is a system that is very fluid and flexible. And if it turns out that it is impacting a business disproportionately, it can pretty quickly be changed with this structure. So I do also